Welcome to my study. After 30 years, I've concluded that everything you need to know to be successful in every part of your life is found in one book, the Bible.
Not much could be better said than fathers are the big deal. America has a father issue. If someone asked me some time ago what I would do if you want to fix the culture situation as it is, my answer would be, the question was, where would you start? You start in the college, you start in the high school, you start in the grade school, where would you start? The answer is, you have to start in the home, and you'd have to start with fathers. They're basically missing in action. So our subject today is what it takes to be a functional father. What does it take to make a functional father? Just making babies is not all that difficult, but how do you make a father functional? That's our question. And so without any further ado, let's begin to pursue what the scriptures seem to teach. Here's number one. It is that a consistent and accurate example must be provided for the followers to follow. We watch this now. We basically learn from watching someone else. We learn from modeling, not from lectures, not from textbooks, but we learn from models. That's why Jesus said, follow me. 19 times Jesus said, follow me, because that's how you learn his ways, by following. It is the highest form of learning. It's not just talking, lecture. It is about seeing somebody do and then imitating what they do. So what a father needs to become a functional father is, in fact, he needs a model to follow, which is a copy, a replica, a duplicate, a double, a reproduction. A model is someone who follows a specific design. And so that's really what we're after. We're after a consistent, accurate model as an example for followers to follow. So now watch, because here's the big news. It is simply this, that God, the designer of all of life, right, decided that this was such a big deal, and fathers need such a model, that he decided that he himself should be the example of earthly fathers. And so God is the supreme example of fatherhood. Just look at the scripture. One God, and look at this, Father of all. Father of all. Now watch this. Father, this is what it says about this father. He is above all, and he's through all, and he wants to be in you all as well. He is the supreme example of a father. We need more verses about that. Look at the scripture. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. This is a really important text. Of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Everybody is named after Father God. There's nothing more important than you to learn the fatherhood, and me to learn for that matter, the fatherhood of God. He is the father of the whole family in heaven and earth. He's Father. He is the Father. Look at this scripture. Know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us. We cover this so many times. And not we ourselves. We didn't make ourselves. Man and woman got together, is going to be a baby, but God put the person inside the baby. Because people can't make people, they can only make babies. And God is the Father who fathers us and puts us, the person, inside the baby. For we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In fact, a good term is this simple understanding that we are God created. He is Father of us all. We are God created. This is an amazing thing. In fact, if you want to have genuine self-acceptance, you need to begin with this fact, that God, Mr. Big, creator, the Father of all, fathered you, wanted you here at this time on earth in this season, and he's got big plans for your life. Let's look at some more scripture about this, because the scripture says of him, for in him we live and we move and have our being. Now, Paul's debating, now watch this, as certain also of your poets have said, now here it is, we are also his offspring. God is your father. He is the father of all. And every father on earth, to be functional, needs to follow a model. And God himself is the model. Now watch how this scripture goes on. For as much then as we are the offspring of God. Whoa, that's a really important understanding to have. Another scripture. Jesus taught us to pray this way. Pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So everywhere you look in the scriptures, you understand that God is in fact the Father. In fact, it's a big deal. Make sure you got this straight. Being a functional father requires following a model, an example. Number two, God is that example that every father should follow. The third thing I want us to grasp today, especially on this occasion, is that fatherhood is the priority number one. This is not a small deal. Look at what the scripture says about this. Ye shall command your children to observe and to do all the words of the law, right? To do what's right. Watch this now. Now watch this. For it is not a vain thing for you, because, now listen, Father, it is your life. This is the reason you are. Once you become a father, number one priority is your fatherhood. Of course, we have other areas of life. You have to have a job, but it can never take the place of fatherhood. It can never interrupt fatherhood. Obviously, you have other responsibilities, financial and otherwise. None of them can trump the idea, the mission, if you please, of fatherhood. I want you to see this once again. The scriptures are plain. This is your life. Fatherhood, functional fatherhood, requires a model to follow, the knowledge that God is that model, and number three, that it is the highest priority any man can have. Priority number one is simply this, to make sure that fatherhood is the highest goal that you could ever achieve. Everything else must pale into significance by comparison to the mission of fatherhood. It is your life. It is not a vain thing. It is your life. It's your life. So where do we go from here if it is your life? The fact of the matter is, what are we going to do with our children? And why is it important? Why is it your life? Why is this so significant? Not just in the micro picture or the macro picture, but in the big picture as well. Watch this now. Because the truth of the matter is that the future of every culture is determined by fathers. Look at this now. Train up a child in the way he should go. There's the job, training up your children. That's the fatherhood, functional fatherhood mission. Training up your child, not just any old which way, but in the way that he should go according to what's true, what's right, what's holy, what's just. Now watch this, because if he's properly trained, when he is old, he will not depart from it. The future is determined by fathers. Now, I want you to grasp this in a little bit more detail. The future of your children is determined by the functionality of you, the father. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. In our culture, the future of our culture is based upon the fathers of the culture. If they're missing in action, if they're deserters, if they're absent, or if they're physically there but not mentally, emotionally attached and functional to their family, we will have a dismal future. The way to fix the culture, if it's broken, and ours is we've got to have functional fathers. Now, there are results of fatherless homes. So here's a few of them, statistically known by most everybody. 60% of all rapists come from a fatherless home. 63% of all youth suicides are young people in a fatherless home. In fact, of those that are serving sentences for murder, 72% of them came from a fatherless home. It's the cause of school dropouts, drug and alcohol abuse, health and emotional problems, poverty. All of these things are the result of not having functional fathers. In contrast to that, here's the story. You train up a child, any child, train him in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, the training is not merely a lecture. In the same way that fathers learn from the model of the Heavenly Father, so your child will learn from the model that you set as a father. For example, your sons will learn how to treat their wives by watching how you treat your wife. Your daughters will understand how, if she becomes a wife, her husband should treat her. She learns it in this place called the home. So if she learns proper functional fatherhood style, she'll know and recognize abuse. She'll know what it's supposed to look like, because that's the model. So we train our children in the way it should go, not by just lectures, but by example. In fact, the future is so determined by fatherhood, functional fatherhood, that the scriptures outline exactly what will happen. They that be of thee, those children that are yours, this is the first thing they'll do, because they're raised properly by a functional father. The first thing they will do is they'll build the old waste places. What was ever bad before in the grandfather, great-grandfather, whatever else went on in the family, they're going to fix it because you trained them right. Secondly, you will be raising up the foundation of many generations. If a father is functional, if he follows the model of the Heavenly Father, if he sees this as his mission in life, of which no other endeavor can compete, and he sets in training the children that are his, look at the consequences in the future. He will raise up the foundation, not just of your children, but of your children's children and their children's children's children, many generations to come. But it doesn't end there. And you'll be called the repairer of the breach, because you fixed the family situation that was so broken before you came along. And look at this. And you will be called the restorer of paths that are worth dwelling in. You see, the future is determined by fathers. Imagine you, functional father, what a mission you have. Because you're going to have the reach into future generations through your children. Now, fathers will always affect the next generations after them, either for good or for evil. For example, here's a scripture that says, if a father is full of iniquity, narcissism, that's what that is, that the visiting of the narcissism of the fathers will be upon the children. They will learn narcissism because they live with narcissism. Now, watch this. They visit the iniquity or the narcissism of the fathers upon the children. Now look at this. And upon the children's children. And look at this. It goes up unto the third and the fourth generation. Oh, my goodness. Fathers can affect future generations to the third and fourth generation by doing evil. Now, in contrast to this, the father who does his duty will affect the future, not in a damaging way, but in a healthy way. So fathers, whether they want to admit, if they're functional fathers, the deal is simply this. They are on duty 24/7, 365, always on duty. Look at the scripture. Thou shalt teach them diligently to the children. Now watch this. You teach them and you talk of the ways of God, the ways of godliness, of what's right versus what's wrong. And you do it, look at this, when you're just sitting around the house. That's a good place to do it. Or when you walk by the way, when you're going to and from the grocery store or wherever it is you go with your children, that's when you're sitting in the car and driving somewhere, instead of walking, you're driving, it still works there. And when thou lies down, every single night, you should spend with your child before that child goes to sleep. Let me mention something really important, Father. Every single night, no missing. When that child goes to bed, you go into this room, you kneel down beside his bed. You whisper in his ear, I love you. You kiss him on the cheek. You give him a little hug. And once again, you say, I love you, man. Every single night. That is the secret. Every single night. Teach them when they walk by the way, when they lie down, and when they get up in the morning, when they rise. And that's the job of fathers. It's a full-time job. Work must never replace fatherhood. In fact, every moment is an opportunity for instruction. And when you get with that child, you open the Bible, you open the books, and you talk when thou liest down, when thou risest up. When they're still little, just speak to them. Oh, how precious it is. And in fact, no matter where you are, walking by the way, if you're out in the field, if you're doing a hike, no matter where you are, fathers, you're on duty. Your example is being followed, and everything you say is important. Ha! And every time you help that child, every time you encourage that child, every time you you're doing your duty, you're raising up the future generation because you care. Casual, sound, silent, sitting around. We talk about the things of God. Fatherhood is being on duty 24/7. You're the one who's the center of their life. They want to play with you. They want everything to do with dad. Fathers are on duty 24/7. And that's why even before the partaking of a meal, you say grace together, because fathers are on duty teaching by example. Oh, and whether it's the workshop or whether it's a hobby, fathers are there. Every opportunity of involvement with your children and your child is an opportunity to influence them the right way, to be godly, to know what the difference between right and wrong, and to help them as best they can. Even as they mature and they get older and grow up, you will never quit being the father. And someday they will leave home. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and join to his wife. They two shall become one. And they go to start a new family, but that new family is going to be whatever your family was. So, fathers are on duty 24/7. Now, something else you need to know about being a functional father, and we need to at least take a look at it, is this, is that fathers determine the inside sense of honor to each child. This is based on the scripture. The glory of the children are their fathers. Children need to boast about their fathers. They need to say, oh, you know what my dad did? Do you know what my dad's and I are doing next weekend? And they boast about their father. The glory of children are their fathers. What does that mean? Glory simply means a source of proper boasting. And so children, fathers, I know they, if they get on television or something, they say, hi, mom. But the scripture says what they really need is the glory. Their glory comes from their fathers. Now, fathers, therefore, must be exactly like the Father, God. And in essence, that means that fathers are to love just like God the Father. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Careful now. What do you love most? What you love most is going to determine how you spend your time, where you go, what you do, and who you're with. The world wants you to love all its diversities out there and forget about your children. That's the competition. The world is the competition. Instead, we want to have the love of the Father. Look at this now. The best thing a father can do for their children is to love their mother. Why should they do that? Well, because they're following the Father, who is love, for God is love. Huh? And so he gives us this instruction, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. How do you know when you love your wife? Because like Christ said, he gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify her, cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. In other words, the words that we speak to our wives and how we speak them is to demonstrate love. And that's where your sons will learn how to properly treat their wives when they marry. And it's where your daughters will learn how to respond to a loving husband. Fathers are to love. They have to love enough if they're going to be functional. They have to love enough to discipline. So these are the scriptures I learned. My dad would send me to my room, make me wait a long time. He would come in with a Bible in one hand and a belt in the other. I always remember those days. And he would open to a scripture like this and ask me what it meant. I became an expositor of the Bible at a very young age. So he would open this Bible and show me this verse. He that spares his rod, the extension of his hand, hates his son. But he that loveth him chastens him betimes when he needs it. And my dad would say, son, what do you think that means? And then he always went to this other verse about, spare not for his crying, for if thou beatest him with a rod, thou shalt not hurt him, but thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. And dad would say, what did that mean, son? That means, even though I'm crying, you have to discipline me. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Surely we understand this. Why would we not want someone to correct us if we're going the wrong way? What if we were heading for a precipice edge? Would you not want somebody to say, turn back? And if you didn't turn back, wouldn't you want them to do everything possible to save your future damnation? Of course you would. So whom the Father, because he loves, whom the Father loves, he chastens, even like a father with his own son. See the parallel here? See the model of the heavenly Father with the earthly Father, even as a son in whom he delights. One translation says this, a refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Somebody's going the wrong way, getting back on track. Now, there's a little bit of a problem with this, is that if we wait until they're so far off track, it's hard to get them all the way back. In fact, I remember some years ago, Houston, you got a problem because one of our rockets in space was off course. And when you're traveling at like 70,000 miles on I don't know what the speed was, but it was really fast. The farther, the longer you wait, the farther off track you get, the farther back it becomes. That's why correction and the discipline of a father is incremental, starts with the little thing. Don't get too far off. Correct it while it's little. It's a lot easier than when it becomes too late, because don't ever forget this, that a refusal to correct is a refusal to love. You love your children by disciplining them. In fact, another scripture about this, discipline your son while there's hope. Don't wait till there's too far off track. Look at this, Amplified. Do not indulge your angry resentments by undue chastisements and set yourself to his ruin. How a father does this is critically important. The truth is that the Bible teaches that of physical correction, but the truth of the matter also is that physical correction without love is abuse. So affection, love. And let's get a verse about this. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Whoa. But bring them up. Who's bringing up the children? It is not mom's job. It's dad's job. That's what father's mission. Remember, this is your life. It's not a vain thing. This is the job. Fathers, you fathers, bring them up. Now look at this. How do you bring them up? In a nurturing way. Ooh, tender. And in the admonition of the Lord. Refer them back to the Lord as for direction. Now, I want to end. And aren't you glad? I only have 10 points today. Somebody said to me, preacher, you need to have less points and be more pointed. So I'm going to try and do that. Let's conclude with this. What does it take to be a functional father? We've gone through some of the elements. What we must not miss is that fathers co-father with the Heavenly Father in an attempt to change a culture that's gone astray. So let's see, first of all, the co-fatherhood thing. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. Who do they belong to? They belong to the Lord. You are the steward. You're the caretaker of something that belongs to the Lord. That's a sacred duty. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb, that is a child or children, are his reward. All right? Now watch this. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. We're going to shoot them into the future. These children that belong to God, co-fathered by their earthly father. So it goes on to say, happy is the man that has his quiver full. You should have six children at least. I think if you had a military quiver, I think it held nine, but happy is the man that gets that much, that many. Now watch this. Those children raised by a functional father shall not be ashamed. Watch this now. Because we're talking about fathers co-fathering with the Heavenly Father to change a culture. So we recognize that they're his, but we're co-fathers with him, right? And the more the merrier. And these children shall not be ashamed because they've been trained by a functional father. Watch this now. But they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Oh. The gate in Scripture is actually the political center. Cities were walled in those days, in ancient times. And at the gates, when you come in the gates, you had to have permission. The gates were open and closed depending on who you were, why you were coming in. You had to pass inspection. If you're bringing product in, it had to be inspected at the gates. And so if you were an enemy, you got turned back at the gates. The gates were the power centers of the culture. And so here we learn this. That is the role of functional fathers. Amazing. To take these children that belong to the Father and train them up so that they'll not be ashamed and they will have the courage to face the enemies, because fathers who are functional co-father with the Heavenly Father to change the culture. And so, thank you for spending these moments with me. And my prayer is that you will make sure that you know this is your mission in life. And do it. Do it.
When you know why you were born, you'll have a new appreciation for your true self. You will know your true purpose in life, and you'll know why you matter. Then you'll be equipped to choose a life path full of meaning and joy. Uncover the truth about you. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will give you a new appreciation for your true self. Mark Twain said, "There are two important days in your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why." And David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will launch you on your true path. Take action now and visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Live a fulfilling life now without pressures to conform to the ideas and expectations of others. Live the fulfilling life you were created to live and enjoy the freedom, comfort, and confidence that can bring. Become the real you and discover your ENA, your embedded natural abilities. Break free from the prison of your past and experience the joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment you were created for. Act now. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born and order your copy of this amazing new book. Visit nothingbutthetruth.org/born. Author David L. Johnston's new book, Why You Were Born, will fill you with new expectation for your best life, the life you were created to live.